4. Exodus chapter 34. We read from the beginning of the chapter and also from the end. If you look at verse 28 of Exodus 34, it says that he, that is Moses, was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. 40 days, 40 nights upon the mount, Mount Sinai, in the presence of the Lord, where he neither ate nor drank. And the thing is that Moses went up to the mount not just this one time. Go back with me to Exodus chapter 24 and verse 18. Exodus 24 and verse 18 tells us that Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. So when it says in Exodus 34 and verse 28, 40 days and 40 nights, this is the second period of 40 days and 40 nights up in the mountain. There was an earlier period of similar length, of similar duration. Now concerning the second period, the one mentioned in chapter 34, it said explicitly that he didn't eat, he didn't drink. What about the earlier period, the one mentioned in chapter 24? We're not told. I myself think that it's quite likely, and others share this opinion, it is an opinion, that in the earlier period, the one mentioned in chapter 24, when he was up in the mountain, he also in that period did not eat nor drink. What would you expect if someone hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights? And what would you expect if earlier, just a short time before that, he also had not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights? And keep in mind that we are not talking about someone who necessarily we would classify as being young. Moses at this time was around 80 years old, and that would not be classified either in our day or I think even in their day. I don't think it would be classified as being young. I don't know that many people who are 80 years old. I don't know that many people who are 80 years old and who have fasted in the recent past for 80 days. I imagine if someone were 80 years old and they fasted for 80 days, I imagine that they would look what? Tired, run down, shrunken, shriveled. They would look worn and thin. Instead, the face of Moses was shining. The face of Moses was shining. Moses, of course, is the writer, even though he doesn't say I. Many people, when they write, they don't necessarily say I. Moses is the writer, and one of the things that we see is that his face shining is just mentioned in this short passage at the end of chapter 34 of Exodus. We don't see any sign of him bragging or showing off. The Bible tells us in Numbers 12, that Moses was very meek, كان إنسان حليم جدا, above all the people who were upon the face of the earth. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. It's interesting that even though the Bible mentions the word meek and the Bible mentions the word meekness many times, in fact, it is applied specifically only to two people. To the best of my knowledge, and that is Moses and the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses and the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses was not a man given to pride. Oh, look at me. Usually you'd have to make something else shine on you, but his face was shining. All the more reason why he could show off. And why doesn't the Lord make my face shine? Maybe because I would be filled with pride, inflated like a balloon, maybe because my head would grow too big and would eventually explode. Only one person with whom the Lord did this very same miracle, I think we can say, or at least something quite similar to it, and that is Stephen in the New Testament. Acts chapter 6 and verse 15, Stephanus, بالعهد الجديد, Acts chapter 6 and verse 15, when he was before the Sanhedrin, the Bible says that all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, that is on Stephen, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. And of course we know that Stephen was not someone given to pride. He was of a gentle and tender spirit. Remember how, as they were stoning him, what was the last thing that he said? He said, "Lord, don't count this sin to their charge. لا تقم لهم هذه الخطية." Meekness and lowliness of mind. It somehow serves as the background for the Lord displaying his glory. How long did the face of Moses shine? It shone for some time after he came down from the mountain. The Bible tells us of people coming to him, Aaron and others, and the Bible tells us that he covered his face because they were afraid. And then it says that when he went in to speak to the Lord, he took that cover, that veil off. So it seems that it shone for some time thereafter, since we only have this passage. From this passage, one cannot tell for sure. Was it days? Was it weeks? Was it months? Was it more than that, that the face of Moses was shining? Now, you get the impression from the New Testament, from the way Paul speaks of things, that this shining may have been temporary. I'm talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Corinthians 10, isha'ah 3, wal'adid 7 wa 8, verses 7 and 8. But if the ministration of death written and engraved in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away? How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be more glorious? So the shining of the face of Moses was to be done away. How soon? Don't know. One could even argue that maybe it continued until he died, at which point it was done away. But to the best of my knowledge, there's no very clear and very definite indication. As I said, this shining made others afraid, and Moses put a veil upon his face. Again, this speaks of him not being a show-off, not have a spirit of displaying himself. Remember what the brothers of Jesus said to him. Now, in English, we say half-brothers. In other words, they were the sons of Mary and Joseph, and the Lord Jesus was the son of Mary, not the son of Joseph, except in an adopted sense. John chapter 7, and a few verses at the beginning of the chapter. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. This is John 7:2. His brethren therefore said unto him, "Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works which you do. For there is no man that does anything in secret, and he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For neither did his brethren believe in him. Show yourself. Now the Lord Jesus came to bring a message to us. And he came to die for us. And these things were not done in a corner, and they should not have been done in a corner. But the thing is, he didn't have this same spirit of showing himself, which perhaps the brothers expressed, and which others have as well. Paul the Apostle at one point said, I'm the Apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office. He didn't say I magnify myself. He said, I'm an Apostle and I have a mission given by God, and it's an important mission. It's an important position. It's not me as a person. مش أنا كشخص. Joseph kept on talking about God when he stood before Pharaoh. Pharaoh told him, you can interpret dreams. And he said, no, God can. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh told him about his dream. And Joseph said, this is what God is planning to do. And God has showed it unto you. And God has given it to you twice. This is to establish that God is going to do it. And he kept on talking about God. Now, Pharaoh, we have no reason to think that Pharaoh had any prior acquaintance or familiarity with what the Lord had done, had revealed to Joseph and his family and some others before him. But when Joseph kept on talking about God, what did Pharaoh say? He said, can we find someone like this in whom the Spirit of God is? Can we find such a person who has the Spirit of God in him? And Nebuchadnezzar told Daniel, I've heard that you can interpret dreams. Daniel said, the secret which the king desires, the magicians and the soothsayers cannot reveal. But there is a God in heaven. But there is a God in heaven. Not unto us, the psalmist says, Psalm 115 and verse 1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for the sake of your mercy and for the sake of your truth. The face of Moses shining. Let's consider what the Bible tells us regarding this matter. Let's see what it might remind us of, knowing that whatever was written for our learning, for our admonition. The face of Moses shining. Why did this happen? It was the effect of what? Of him being with the Lord, of him seeing the glory of the Lord. It was the effect of his time with the Lord. The impact. A real way in his life. Remember in chapter 33, at the end of the chapter, Moses had asked to see the glory of the Lord. Chapter 33 and verse 18. I beseech thee, Moses said, show me your glory. The Lord said, I'll make my goodness pass before you. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I'll have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. You can't see my face. No one can see my face and live. There's a place next to me. You'll stand upon a rock. It will come to pass that when my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, binqr al-sakhra. I will cover you with my hand while I pass by, and I'll take away my hand, and you'll see my back. My face you will not see. There was a desire on the part of Moses to know the Lord, to see and know the Lord's glory. Now, the Lord knew to what extent Moses could bear this. Later on, Moses was present on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord Jesus Christ, where the glory of Christ was also revealed, and perhaps more so. God is light, the Bible says. And if we are looking towards him, if we are facing him, then in one way or the other, the glory of God should, can, will be reflected in us, in his believers, in his children. It says in Psalm 34 and verse 5, they looked unto him and they were radiant. Nadaru ilayhi wastanaru. 2 Corinthians, we already read a verse or two from that passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse 18, Corinthians 2, 18, and verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said to his disciples, he said to his followers, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Remember the idea that in those times, they thought that so-and-so, who is a great and well-known teacher, oh, he is the light of the world. And here was the Lord Jesus saying to who? Saying to common people. People like his disciples, fishermen, relatively humble and one might say ordinary people. He was saying to them, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15. Philippians 2 والعدد 14 و15. That ye may do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, children of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. This shining, why did it happen? Because of Moses seeing the glory of God, because of Moses having fellowship with God. Not a matter of somehow a passing glance, but rather 40 days and 40 nights, Moses had been with God in a very special way. The Bible tells us that Enoch walked with God. The Bible tells us that Enoch walked with God 300 years. From the time when he was 65 and he had his son Methuselah until he was 365 when the Lord did what? When the Lord told him, come along to heaven. And he translated him from this world to the next, took him from here to his presence without him passing through death. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Thus says the high and the lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place with him also, who is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. How is it, one of the disciples said, that you will reveal yourself, Lord, to us, but not to the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him. The Lord Jesus said, now you're clean. Through the word which I have spoken unto you, abide in me. Abide in me. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Turn with me to 1 John. And we'll read a few verses from chapter 1, Yuhanna al-Ula wa al-Ishah wahad, wabtada'an min al-adad tlati, 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. What a wonder that God, who created the heavens and the earth, the universe and all that is in it, is somehow interested in having fellowship with me. Abraham was called the friend of God. And then there's another wonder, a very sad wonder, which is how little I am sometimes interested in benefiting from this opportunity, in benefiting from this great blessing, in benefiting from this great blessing. The truth is that Moses did not just have fellowship with God up on the mountain once, twice, as we saw, but even beyond that, because before he went up to the mountain, here is the Lord speaking to him and telling him, you're going to do this and that. And after he comes down from the mountain, as we read at the end of the chapter, he would go in and speak with the Lord, and that's when he would remove the veil. It's mentioned more than once. And sometimes what we say to ourselves, yes, you know, several years ago when there was a special time in my life, it was like I was on the mountain with the Lord. Yes, and I haven't seen him since. Moses was in fellowship with the Lord on the mountain and off the mountain. And off the mountain as well. One thing that we see also is Moses interceding for the people. It is part of what we see in this chapter, in other places as well. Where do we see this in this chapter? Verse 9. He said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. Earlier, in the immediate aftermath of the incident of the golden calf, chapter 32, verse 31 and 32, and Moses returned unto the Lord, this is chapter 32, verse 31, and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold, but now if you will forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray you, out of your book which you have written. If God is going to shine through me, it's not going to happen if I have a spirit of selfishness. It's not going to happen if I am selfish. The book of Proverbs says, Proverbs 11, 24 and 25, there is one who scatters, and yet he increases. There is one who withholds more than is needed, and it tends to poverty. في شخص بيوزع لكن بيزيد وفي شخص بيمسك أكثر من اللازم لكن النتيجة هي شو الفقر. The liberal soul shall be made fat. النفس السخية تسمن. And he that waters shall be watered also himself. والمروي يروى أيضا. I have shown you all things, Paul said to the leaders of the church of Ephesus. Acts 20 and verse 35. How that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is better, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The face of Moses shone. One of the things also that we can remember is this was a man who was faithful, a man who was faithful. He went up to the mount the first time. The people fell into idolatry. Moses came down. What did he do? Did he do what Aaron did? What did Aaron do? He tried to combine the idolatry of the people with the worship of God. All right, let's make a golden calf and let's say that it's a feast unto the Lord. So we'll try to do this and to do that. Moses, when he came down, did not say, the bunch of people. Now, what will happen if I try to stand alone for what's right? He didn't think that way. He condemned the people who worshiped the golden calf. He commanded that some of them, a good number of them, be put to death. The Bible says, Moses, my servant, Numbers chapter 12 and verse 7, faithful in all mine house. Hebrews chapter 3 repeats this. Here is Moses in this chapter. Few tables of stone. He does it. Come up to the mountain. He does it. This particular time, he does it. Command the people there not to approach. He does it. Going back down, the Bible says, with the two tables of testimony, he does it. One of the things that is there in the middle of the chapter, which I didn't read just so that our reading wouldn't be very long, is you see details about the unleavened bread and about about the firstborn and about 6 days you will labor and on the seventh day you will rest, and three times, verse 23, people should come to the Lord. First fruits of the land, verse 26. And somehow I look at those things and I remember what the Lord Jesus said, which is, the one who's faithful in little is faithful in much. Oh, I want to be faithful. The Lord can give me the Ten Commandments. And I will give them faithfully to people. Can he count on me to be faithful in little things? Because if I'm not faithful in little things, the Bible says that I'm not faithful in much. The Bible says that I'm not faithful in much. A faithful man, who can find? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. To the church of Smyrna, the suffering church, the Lord said, be faithful. Be faithful unto death. I'll give you the crown of life. Paul was told Timothy, the things that I've told you among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Why did his face shine? Because he saw the glory of God, because he was having fellowship with God, because he was a man who was not selfish, because he was a man who was faithful in serving the Lord. What did this shining show? Some things that we might say. God was testifying to those in that place and in that time that Moses was his special servant. That Moses was his special servant. Now, someone might say, why is that important? Because many times there were people who murmured, who rose up against him, who tried to say that he was somehow asserting himself. Look at Numbers chapter 12. This came from his brother and from his sister, from Aaron and from Miriam. Numbers chapter 12, and beginning with verse 2. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? And then it says, the man Moses was very meek, verse 3 of Numbers 12. The Lord spoke suddenly to Moses, Aaron, and said unto Aaron and Miriam, come to the tabernacle of the congregation. The Lord came down in the pillar of a cloud. He called Aaron and Miriam. Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I speak to him in a vision, in a dream. Moses, my servant, is not so, who is faithful in all my house. I will speak to him mouth to mouth. The similitude of the Lord will he behold. And why were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? This was from Aaron and Miriam. And there were other things from other people at that time. Various things in which Moses had to somehow say that God has called me, and this is not just me. This is not just my ideas. This is not me setting myself up. This is not me setting myself up. The Bible tells us that Isaac digged several wells. He dug several wells, I should say. And the people of the land came and took them from him. Take them. And he dug more wells. And he sowed in the land, and the Lord blessed him. And then Abimelech came to him and said, I want the covenant between you and me, because you are the blessed of the Lord. Because you are the blessed of the Lord. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Perhaps this shining spoke to them of what? of God's authority, God's leading, so that they were less inclined to murmuring. Perhaps this shining also speaks to us of the fact that God's word is light. Moses is the lawgiver, the one by whom God gave the word, the first five books. And the Bible tells us that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Peter says in his second letter, he speaks about the transfiguration, اختبار التجلي. And he describes it briefly in the first chapter. And then he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. لأن الكلمة النبوية وهي أثبت. الكلمة أهم من اختبار التجلي. The word is more important than the experience of the transfiguration, than being there and witnessing things directly. And he says that we need to heed this word because it's like a light which shines in a dark place. Like a light which shines in a dark place. Perhaps this shining also reminds us that serving the Lord is glorious. Moses, my servant. Moses, who was faithful in all things. Jesus said, John chapter 12 and verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Him will my Father honor. Those who honor me, I will honor. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Revelation chapter 3, to the church of Philadelphia, the Lord Jesus said, you have a little strength, you've kept my word, you have not denied my name. I will make them who are of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews but are not and do lie, I will make them to come and worship at your feet and to know that I have loved you. That I have loved you. Let me mention quickly a few other things. Moses did not know that his face was shining. Moses was not, as I said, a person filled with pride. The temptation by which Satan fell was a temptation to pride. The temptation by which Adam and Eve fell, and we all fell with them, was a temptation to pride. You will be like gods, knowing good and evil. Knowing good and evil. We should be examples of humility and lowliness of mind. And we should leave pride to others. Moses did not know that his face was shining, because he had seen the glory of God, and that glory had filled his eye, his mind, and his heart. Remember how Job said that I had so many questions to ask. I had things that I wanted to say, but now I say this, I have heard of you, or I had heard of you, by the hearing of the ear. Now my eye sees you, and so I abhor myself. And I repent in dust and ashes. When Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord, what did he say? He said, I am undone, halikt. Why? Because I'm a sinful man, because I'm a man of unclean lips. Daniel, when he saw a great vision, Daniel chapter 10 and verse 8, it says that there was no strength left in him. Peter, after the miracle of the great catch of fish, Luke chapter 5, he fell on his knees before the Lord Jesus. And he said, Lord, depart from me because I am what? Because I'm a sinful man. Because I am a sinful man. Moses was not fixed on his glory. Why should we follow the Lord and obey him? Because I really want Sister Vera to think that I'm a holy person. Why should I try to preach the message of the gospel and win souls to Christ? Because I want Sister Renee to think that I am a great soul winner. Should not be that thinking in our mind. God's word teaches us to give God glory. to give God glory. Moses said in Psalm 90, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands." Let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. Moses was busy with serving others, you might say, and did not have that much time to look in the mirror in a vain way. John the Baptist said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And so Moses wore, he wore a veil. Now, it tells us in 2 Corinthians that that had a spiritual meaning. Somehow that worked out to be what God wanted, and God spoke through it. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that many people, their minds are blinded as they look to the Old Testament. They do not look clearly with understanding, and it's as if there's a veil on their hearts. But this veil is done away in Christ. It's interesting that Moses took the veil off before God. God sees us and knows us as we are. And there is no hiding or concealment from him. Now, in closing, I must say that the Lord Jesus is, of course, greater than Moses. And it says, regarding the transfiguration, that the face of the Lord Jesus shone. It shone like the sun, which is, of course, greater than what happened with Moses. And not just the face of Jesus only, but all together. His raiment, the Bible says, was white as the light. And the Bible tells us in the book of the Revelation that the city has no need of sun to shine by day and moon to shine by night, because the glory of God will light it, and because the lamp is the light thereof. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Why should someone bear witness of the light? Because people are blind. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, so that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. He was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. This world is dark. It needs light. It needs the light of God to shine through you, through me, through each one of his children. Do you want to shine for Christ? It says in the book of Daniel, chapter 12 and verse 3, that the ones who are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. The face of Moses shone. Do you shine with the light of God? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your servant Joseph. Your servant Moses. We thank you, Lord, for his seeing the glory of God, desiring to see it. We thank you for his humility, for his care and love for others. We thank you, Lord, for his faithfulness to you. We thank you for his fellowship with you, for his obedience to your commandments and your word, for how he bore these commandments and placed them before others faithfully. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to desire to glorify you, to follow in such footsteps, to think of how we can bear witness to that great light, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who said, "I am the light of the world." We pray, Lord, that you would help us so that in this dark, dark world, we would bear witness of the truth. we would shine as lights, and people would come to know that great light and that great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray and for his glory. Amen.